Not the footy show.
Show?
Hit the Raiders. Can nail a try here.
Come on, boys.
Oh,
I need 28.
They're so close to going through. Here's Whitehead.
Attack. Don't just play safe here. Let's try
the
and score.
Pivotal set in the game, you fancy. Here's Horsburgh with an inside pass to Papali'i, who has been immense in the last little while. Five short of Melbourne's line, Starling Horsburgh.
Tackle.
They ran it like a book. It was tackled.
Get yourself, Jackie. Oh, off his head! Off his head! Yes! Booyah! Woo-hoo-hoo! Yes! Come on!
The Guam wrapped up. Next week is going to be special once again. This is the best opening weekend of finals probably ever. The football has been out.
G'day everybody, welcome to episode 256 of Not The Footy Show. I'm Warwick Nicholson, I've got Rob Cox on the line, and it's time to talk about NRL Finals Week 1, Cocksmith. You're on the way back from a job up from down the coast, and you may have seen a few things happen on the weekend. I heard it was the greatest final series of all time, on the first week of finals of all time. Am I right in that?
Well, you've been listening to Matt, right? And he's a dribbler, so don't listen to him. Geez, he goes on, doesn't he? I mean... The bloke just carries on. I mean, and he stuffs up. He's been stuffing up every game. He's been, you know, let's not talk about his calling. I'm not into it. But I'll tell you what, it was an interesting weekend of finals.
It was.
Ashley Klein's arms must be sore from holding his 10 minutes up because, I'm not too sure that seven in the bin is much to be proud of. I think Mr. Klein should have possibly have given him a sterner warning and said the very next bloke that hits someone high is off and not for 10 minutes. I'm going to sit him down for the whole game.
You know how you said basically that he had sore arms. It's actually easier if you just use one arm and send people off than put 10 in the bin. So he could have saved himself a lot of reps.
Yes.
Let's start with the results. People, by the time you listen to this, you'll know the results, but I'll go through them quickly. Yesterday, the Rabbitohs beat the Roosters 30-14. Cowboys beat the Sharks 30-32 in extra time. On Saturday night, Canberra beat the Storm 28-20 as predicted, and Penrith swatted aside the Eels 27-8. Let's start with South and the Chooks and Klein and the message you're talking about, which wasn't there. And if you go back to... We just said before, as we were setting up the podcast, everyone, what are we going to talk about? Obviously, East and South, fair old contest. Definitely one of the most drama-charged finals of all time. Not the greatest final I've ever seen, but certainly one that will live in memory for a long, long time. You mentioned the fact that if you take out Teddy, you beat the Roosters. Well, it's been proven in a few games now. If you can get to him, whether it's deliberate or it's not deliberate, or you just sail close to the wind, that's what it is. What ultimately it comes down to is, well, if you do that deliberately or not deliberately, careless or reckless or however you want to frame it, it's really on one person to decide the game from that point on. And that was done by Ashley Klein by going back on what he said in the audio. When Tom Burgess smashed Tedesco, he said, "I've got something more than a penalty." He said that. And then in the next 30 seconds, the bunker has a couple of looks. And they go, it's not that bad. It really isn't that bad. It's just on report, not even 10 in the bin. From that moment, that game was dusted in regards to Klein having any control. He didn't back his gut, which if you go back to that lovely decision with the Tigers and the Cowboys, I reckon the moment he had a look at about three or four replays and the people in the box sort of said to him, yeah, maybe he took him out, he's changed his mind. And I reckon hopefully it's cost him the grand final because it certainly cost the Roosters a chance to win the game. It didn't cost him the game. But by having Burgess stay on the field and not suffer any discipline at all at that stage, it just sent a message that you can get away with what you want.
Well, yeah, look, mate, I really don't like seeing, you know, teams' best players get targeted in that way. I'm not saying that Burgess did it for sure and certain on purpose, but it makes you think that. It makes you think that. You know, he didn't miss him.
No.
He certainly got him. In fact, you know, a game that we'll talk about later on, our mate Taylor May got into trouble. And that was that one there was the lightest one of the weekend.
Yep.
I don't think he deserved anything. He's not even looking at Pennacini's head.
Huh.
You know what I'm saying? So I feel really bad for Tedesco. Tedesco has had a couple of knockouts in his time. And, you know, I hope that he makes a full recovery, et cetera, et cetera. Really sad for the Roosters because I believe with him on the field, they win. It's hard to say, you know, once he was knocked out, the damage was done,
yeah.
You know. But you're right. Burgess went on to also knock out. Who else did he knock out?
He went and tried to take out Matt Lodge's head the very next set. So people will argue, oh, he got sent into the sin bin. Like straight after it, doesn't matter. The precedent was set. Klein thought he saw a send off, changed his mind because the bunker clearly said something to him. And then the moment from then on, you get away with what you like. Latrell Mitchell got hit about seven times in the head, according to him, and each time never even had a single HIA check. I mean, that's something we'll dive into as the weekend sort of unfolded. But you get the 10 in the bin for Tom Burgess on Lodge, which he's got to go because he's done it a couple of minutes ago. But the fact is, he should have gone for the first one. And then Tane Milne takes out Sualae's head. And that's the worst of the weekend. That is the worst by a country mile. He leaves his feet.
That's a fine, by the way.
Yeah, $1,800. Not that big a deal. He leaves his feet. You can see it. I put a GIF on the Twitter account, Admiral Tweet, and you can see it. Sualae is a tall bloke. Okay, so you've actually got to make a real effort to get up around his neck. And that's what Milne does when he plays in the wing. He's done it a bunch of times. He got sin-binned when he should have been sent off. And the only reason he got sin-binned was because Burgess had been sin-binned a couple of minutes earlier. That's the only reason. And this is why fans get angry and start writing letters to Peter Verlandis or PTV part-time Verlandis, is because we're just sitting there going, what's the message? Taylor May gets sin-binned and he gets 2 weeks or 1 or 2 weeks, whatever it is, but he's one on Friday night. You see a bunch like that in the next two games. Nothing happens. And then you see this one where they should put their foot down, they don't. And then you end up with a situation where the Roosters can't win the game. We're not defending the Roosters here. At the end of the day, they probably wouldn't have got past next week anyway, given the injuries they've got. But fair dinkum. It just didn't equate to what Burgess did and how he did it in the scheme of the game.
Well, look, who knocked out Crichton?
No, Crichton did it himself. It was on Burgess, I think.
Oh, he was trying to tackle
Burgess. And he got his shoulder and he was gone.
Yeah, yeah.
And Takiyaho also got knocked out and somehow came back on because, you know, finals.
He played the ball side on. He played the ball to the touchline.
His legs went to jelly and then they said that Tedesco was a chance of coming back, Cocksmith.
Yeah.
And the moment he tried to get to his feet, there was no way known he should have been coming back. But luckily, in regards to his safety, he actually showed a few more symptoms when they apparently cleared him. So that's why he never came back on. Finals. It's what you do. I get it. We're not saying you should or you shouldn't. We just know that's what happens in finals in regards to players. They want to get on there. They'll say anything they can to stay on the field. We get that.
Oh yeah, absolutely they will. And look, I've read a couple of things on Facebook this morning. The Souths and Roosters fans were at each other again because something Demetriou said, and it's always a cesspool of emotion, the old Facebook comments. But you know, Jared Weir Hargreaves,
we're getting to him, everyone.
he doesn't have form as far as picking on little blokes goes. Jared won't pick on little blokes. He'll find the biggest bloke he can and pick on him.
That doesn't say much for Manly's pack from what happened with Zach Fulton.
but that was a new... That's a new bloke coming into grade and probably not showing much respect. And
yeah, but you're right. Yep.
He generally doesn't chase little blokes. But look, what he did to Tom Burgess is pure get square. That's pure get square. That's what that is. That's a, well, you know, you put our captain and our best player's lights out. So I'm going to try and put yours out. I mean, that's old school rugby league.
He tried to do a thing on Murray where he didn't get him as badly by any stretch, but he still achieved what he wanted to do near the post then. And again, where's the HIA for Murray, especially with a bloke that's had, you know, a concussion last week?
There was some laying down over the weekend.
There was just huge amounts of it. But let's just go back to JWH for a second. We know he's got form. He's now facing 3 to 4 weeks. Burgess is facing 2 to 3, as we said. Milne skates with $800 fine, which is just laughable. JWH he's just got angry man, old man syndrome, and it's disappointing because when he plays with that edge, you go, he's still got it. And then he does things like the way that he works on Burgess's head is what I had the biggest issue with. It wasn't so much the head slam. It's the fact that he got into a position where he could inflict the most force of his body weight into Burgess when he finally hit the ground. That's the thing that it's like, that's deliberate. That's like, there's pure intent there to do exactly what he did. It's not that the momentum of the tackle happens and you end up in a bad position. That's just, I know it's footy, but I don't have to like it.
Well, mate, Solomon has made a career of it. So, what's good for the goose is good for the rooster, I guess. it is an ugly, it's an ugly look. It is an ugly look, you know, but we've got to remember that this is NRL. This is professional rugby league. This isn't about, mum not letting little Johnny play football, because it's a different thing. It's not the same. The only thing is the same is it's both called rugby league. At the end of the day, little Johnny, that's not going to happen to little Johnny, you know. It's professional rugby league. Half the reason people tune in, mate, is to see that stuff.
You couldn't look away from the game. Don't get me wrong.
No.
But what I'm sitting there frustrated with is that's deemed acceptable, and yet you have people being sent off and sin binned for stuff that's not even remotely in the same neighbourhood.
I agree.
And you're like, what are you trying to send the message here, PVL and so forth? You don't know what you want. And like that game will be on highlight reels for a long time. And it'll be used to sell the game of rugby league to the rabid fan who loves that stuff, and quite rightly. But don't turn around and decry it when one bloke does something that's a complete accident. That's the worst part about this game is that we're talking about those moments, which it was. They were the key things.
But that's what I was saying, mate. Taylor Mays was an accident. I don't believe Taylor May meant to hit Pennicini in the head.
He certainly got him,
but he came back into the game. He wasn't he wasn't concussed. I don't think I'm not sticking up for Taylor May. Like I said to you last week, I think he should have been sat down for the however long the NRL deemed, 2 weeks in this instance, should have been sat down straight away, and he should have missed the final last week. I'm not sticking up for him, but what I'm saying is in that moment from that play, I don't think there was any intent whatsoever. And I think probably 75% of head highs, maybe even a little bit higher, there's no intent. The player is not intending to do that. But because you've got to wrap the ball up, you've got to go up high. And if you go around the legs on some of these blokes, you have a look at Tom Burgess. Have a look at the size of his legs.
Yeah.
You go around his legs, you'll probably get a concussion.
Yeah.
I mean, Crichton got one from his shoulder.
Yeah.
So it's actually safer to tackle them up high, because otherwise you're probably going to get concussed. So I don't. Yeah, I'm not condoning foul play at all. But I really don't think Taylor May there was any intent in that tackle. He might have had some intent back in the pub on the Gold Coast, but
he's got 2 weeks to think about that in March next year. Latrell Mitchell in this match. I watched Channel 9. They couldn't get enough of him. He was a difference maker. Didn't touch the ball a heck of a lot, but in the moments that he got involved, he certainly made his presence felt. I don't think he was the difference in the game, as people were going on about. I think the difference was that Paul Momorowski doesn't listen to the podcast, because we were pretty clear about how you mark Alex Johnson. Just keeps happening. I don't know how. And it's funny, the point I made last week was make Isaiah Tass beat you. Well, he beat you when the score was over, but, you know, at least give yourself a chance of stopping Johnson just making it look easy. I think it's 30 tries 2 years in a row. It's just ridiculous. It's a phenomenal effort from the boy. Well done, yeah. Alex Johnson. Really, really impressive. And Cody Walker, I think I messaged you. I couldn't believe he wasn't at the centre of all the big brouhahas until right towards the end. What happened to normal Cody?
Well, he wanted to be. You could tell he wanted to be. Like I sent you a message, you know, the Latrell Mitchell is the Rabbitohs energy man, right? Yeah. Without Latrell Mitchell barking at the back and going in and roughing up players, being the third or fourth or fifth man in and constantly into the referee, the Rabbitohs, they're no chance of winning this competition.
Yeah.
So, you know, to put it back into what I was saying before about Burgess on Tedesco, if you want to stop the Rabbitohs, you got to stop Mitchell. However you want to do it, it's up to you. I'm not going to tell you how to do it.
This was part of our text message yesterday, but what was JWH doing when he came back on the field? The first person he should have been going after was Mitchell, and the second person he should have been going after was Cody Walker.
Well, Mitchell's very hard to get at. And if you watch, I don't know if you've rewatched that game, quite often, and maybe it's probably very smart of Latrell, but Latrell doesn't, and I've said this before about Latrell, and you know how much I like him as a player.
Yeah.
As far as I think his impact is, you know, almost second to none. But one thing he doesn't like doing, he doesn't really like bringing back. Bringing back ugly hit ups. Yeah. He's not really into them. He'll let his wingers do that. You know, he'll even let his centers do that before. You know, he's not going to cart the ball back out of his own half if he doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. If someone else can do it, they'll do it. So he's really hard to get a shot on. Where Latrell really, where he's really dynamic is around that middle. You know, on plays 3, 4, and 5, where he can chime in.
Yep.
Off of Walker or off of Ilias or off of Damian Cook, around that kind of, you know, the middle of the ruck area. And that's about the only chance you're going to have of getting a hit on him, because other than that and broken play, he doesn't touch the ball very much.
Another thing I noticed, I completely agree with you on that front, is that a few times he went in for a bit of a shot on people, and then he can look at the replay people. He scarpers. He gets away. If he's pulled one off on someone that may be a little bit higher, the Drew Hutchison one's a good example when Hutchison was in the clear. He clocked him in the chin, but it didn't get picked up. And then he sledged Hutchison. And then when the reinforcements came, Mitchell just boom straight out of dodge. He was a smart little dude. I didn't like what he did right at the end. I liked the little towards the crowd. Love that. I love a little bit of move.
Didn't watch it.
But right at the end, he then told the crowd three times to something off, and and I'm just like, okay, just those little things. It's not as endearing as you think, Latrell.
Because there's fans
who aren't fans of the Roosters who look at that and just go, dude, like
you can't whinge about being booed next year. Yeah. Don't whinge about being booed.
I just like, mate, I get it. You won, and you when you looked at them and you put your arms out, I love that. That's your stuff. But then, like, that's just not cool. I just don't like the other bit. The other bits, you just don't need to do it. It's time to grow up some.
Were some other games on the weekend.
Let's move to them. Just quietly, though.
You want to talk about the Raiders.
Just quickly, the Roosters, mate. They go back-to-back in 18-19. And that's 3 years of nothing.
Well, I don't know if it's nothing. They're making the eight. They had some pretty bad luck this year with injuries, and they were running out of troops fast, mate. Even if they had have got through this week, you know, probably a little bit like the Rabbitohs. They'll be playing a little bit sore this week against who are they playing again? Parramatta.
It's a drop off given where, like, you looked at them out of 19 and you went, this could be a pretty good, like, Teddy's coming into his prime. Kiri's, you know, I mean, he did do his knee. I think it was in 21. But I don't know. It's just this point. Like, you look at the way their team is being constructed and for them not to get past the second week of the finals for three straight years. Anyway.
Like I said to you yesterday, though, mate, I think their future is with Teddy at six. I'm more convinced of it now after watching Suwali yesterday. I think he's got to go to one. And
so what about Joey Manu? Isn't Joey Manu next in line?
Well, where are you going to play Teddy? I think Teddy would make a better six.
I think the move that I think you'll see next year, and I don't disagree in regards to that, could be one way to go. But I think Suwali, he's got to go into the centres, and basically on both sides of the field, you've got the Manu and Suwali roaming commission and being allowed to do whatever they want, because that's a ridiculously good three-headed monster in regards to that. Let's quickly move on to the next game. Probably the game that might have been forgotten out of the weekend, simply because of what happened last night. And it's not the Raiders Storm game, it's the Cowboys Sharks epic.
A good game.
93 minutes, just a classic kind of semi-final, but a high-scoring one. Lots of really, really good football. If you want to sit back and watch a game where both teams played an up-tempo, throw the ball around, entertaining game out of the weekend, watch the mini, watch the longer version. It's worth going back to. I thought Cronulla, as you said to a message to me, they probably did blow it, but give the Cowboys credit. They came back from looking gone with, about 15 to go.
Oh, I thought they were gone. Yeah.
And Jason Taumalolo, I know he signed a massive deal about 5 or 6 years ago, but the other night he earned every cent because he was tremendous.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely he was, mate. He was the difference between the two, I would say. There's a few players you could say that about, but Taumalolo, that try he scored, mate, that's a gutsy try considering they're looking at going wide, and he basically ran through the middle third and got that try. I think that's a gutsy for all round from his support players as well to give him and let him take that ball.
It wasn't an isolated run from him either. He'd been busting his gut for the 20 minutes he got back on the field before then. He actually lifted him on his back, and for him to come up with that play, and Val Holmes said it in the post-match, he said, that move had been practiced at training all week, and if they needed to pull it out, they would. It makes you think, why would you wait till the 79th minute to pull it out? But hey, it worked, so that helps. Yeah. Special mention to two players. And anyone who's listened to the pod for a long time will know this is going to come out very difficultly for me. But Nicho Hynes was tremendous, but at the end of the day, couldn't get his team across the line. So I think you sent me a photo of him getting a 10 out of 10 in the paper. It's just not how it works.
Some dribbler from the paper gave him a 10.
He was great, though. He was really, really good.
He was good. But when they needed
something at the end, he couldn't produce it. But the other bloke I've got to give massive credit to, LeChad. That's the best game I've seen LeChad play in a long, long time. And it was his kicking game. He kept having Cronulla come out of their back end time after time after time. And what was really impressive about that was none of the markers for the Cronulla could get to him and take him out of the game in regards to that. And that deserves a round of applause. I thought he was really, really good.
No, I thought he was good too, mate. But, geez, how good's Ruben Cotter?
He's just a motor. He's the old Victor that used to do your lawns when you were little. Like, it just keeps going. It's been around for 20 years, and it's just as well as it did in the first minute as it did in the 80s.
Unbelievable. And that drop goal from Val, hats off. Ultimately, they deserve to win, and it was a good game. It wasn't a lot of defence in the game as far as, no big, long, long moments of no points. So there was lots of points scored. What was it, 62 altogether scored? Yeah. But I think it was an entertaining game, and unfortunately for Cronulla, they've got to go back to the drawing board and figure out what went wrong, because
and how to get your energy back to stop South.
How to get your energy and look, South have won a few on the trot, and they lost to the Roosters the other day, but going into the finals they'd won a few, and their tails might be up. I don't know. It'll all depend on how they go for injuries, because they've had a couple this year as well. So it should be an interesting game, though. I hope they built the
life out of each other.
Yes.
What did you make of the extra time rule? I really enjoyed that extra time period. It wasn't
I didn't mind it. Yeah.
I want to see those 5 minutes each way come into regular season football and get rid of Golden Point.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind Golden Point, but I know why you don't like it, and I can see why you don't like it. And that's because it can be all over in the first set. There's no grind. It's almost like, you know, we'll just go for everything we can as soon as we can. Generally, it's a drop goal, and it's a bit of a fizzer way to end. But when you get that extra 10 minutes of football, anything can happen. I like it.
One last point. One thing I didn't think the Chad did the right thing on, and man, they always scored from it, so I looked like an idiot when I said that in the chat, but he had a perfect chance to take a field goal in the first set of six of extra time, right in front of the post, 10 metres out, and he kicked for Kyle Phelps, who knocked on. I just would have thought you take... I mean, I know you can't win the game in that minute, but you can take the lead, so the other team has to almost go into field goal mode to try and level it up, and I just thought it was a mistake. I mean, they almost scored, so I would have looked like an incomplete idiot. But at the end of the day, they got it done. Val Holmes, what a kick. The other game on Saturday night, Canberra 28, Melbourne 20. I'm a Canberra fan. People know this. If you've been following our Instagram account, you probably know that pretty clearly. There is a video of me on there going absolutely nuts when Rapana scores. But the game itself, Cox Smith, good. Probably wasn't great, but it was good. And
that was good. Yeah.
If I put it down to one part of the game that I thought Canberra won it, it was the first 7 minutes of the match, because Melbourne had all the ball, all the field position, and they didn't score a point in the first 7 minutes. And I'm going, Canberra are here. They're here to have a go. This is the team that got to a grand final in 2019 and almost to a grand final in 2020, where it was resilience in defence and then counter-attack that made the difference. Because when Tomoko sent Cam Munster into next week, with one of the great fans that people will never remember because it was a Canberra player. There's no bias there. That was just like, Melbourne just like, what happened? We just had all the ball. We had all the field position and we're down. What is going on? And that, I was so excited at that point.
Yeah, you sound like Ricky, mate. It's always everyone's against Canberra. I agree with you. That first 7 or 8 minutes was really, really strong by Canberra. But, mate, they just kept going with it. And, you know, and to their credit, Melbourne came back at them and it was tight. And for a little while there, I thought Canberra were gone. But they hung tough. They hung tough, mate, and well deserved. And geez, I don't know if Parramatta would be all that happy having to play Canberra this week.
Not when they could have had their bunnies, Melbourne, on tap again. There was a period just for Melbourne's sake. Where they went back-to-back, Coates scored and then Coates scored again. And that try that Coates scored off the kick was just sublime rugby league. I'm sitting there and I'm a Canberra fan and I'm clapping my hands going, that was just delicious. There's just nothing we could have done to stop it. But that to me was where I was like, well, Canberra are good again, because we rebounded from that and all of a sudden Fogarty scores off a scrum play that he's tried all year and hasn't scored once, but this time he came up against Nick Meaney, so happy days. And then Tapine sets up Whitehead with a really nice short ball that exposed the left edge for Melbourne. And you're like, well, it's 16-8 at halftime. What is – like, what? It was like a real – and then I know Melbourne came back and they I think they got a lead, and then Canberra had to score twice to get back in the front. And I said to you on the messages, 28 was what we needed. I didn't expect us to score that point off the head of Sebastian Chris. What a play that was. But we found that sense of, and Ricky's talked about it. He says no one else thinks we can win, but we lost that after the whole Bateman experience. Josh Hodgson get injured again. That self-belief factor. Now it's just oozing out of Canberra, and there's not a better example of that than these two players. One is Joseph Tapine, who's just nuts. But Hudson Young, his form, I know he's going to get talked up because Jerry loves
him. I told you.
How good was he the other night? The other player that's got to get a lot of credit, and he carried us to a grand final a couple of years ago, Josh Papali'i. He was utterly tremendous in the second stint. And for the first time I can remember in a long time, I'll usually message you or I'll message a couple of mates who are Canberra fans or whatever, and I'll say, it's time to get Papa back on. I didn't even get into writing that message, and Ricky had him on the sideline. I'm like, Ricky, you're on Ricky, and you know, we go through. Melbourne haven't missed the second week of the final since 2014, and the other stats
long time.
is that Melbourne or the Roosters, it's the first time since 2001 that neither of those two teams has been in the second week of the final.
Yeah, it's kind of refreshing in a way, isn't it? Like a bit of new blood.
Yeah.
You know, I hope the folks out there listening don't think that I go for the Roosters. I certainly don't. I did want them to win yesterday, though, just because I don't really like South that much. But and you know my criteria for
not your criteria. A team.
Yeah. So yeah, but mate, look, hats off to Canberra. They're definitely playing much better now than they were in the middle of the year. And who knows, mate? You know, as long as there's life, there's hope. And
mate, as long as I have grand final tickets, we're going all the way.
Well, if they knock Parramatta off next week, then they've only got one more game to get through.
And you got to go to Townsville to beat the Cowboys.
Mm.
That's the road. Finally, just on Melbourne, if you look at the way the game played the other night, Munster and Grant could not have done any more than what they did. They were tremendous for Melbourne. And that still wasn't enough. And that sort of tells you where Melbourne are at in this situation of their club and their evolution. It'd be very interesting to see what they bring next year because they're the best two players and were tremendous.
And look at who they've lost. They've lost the Bromwich brothers, Brandon Smith and Kafusi.
Yeah.
Basically their forward pack or their first string forward pack are Gonski.
But it might be what they need. You know, they have a history of turning that.
They'll find some history there.
Quickly to the other game, it's way ago, like Friday. I have written a big review on it on my website, wdnicholson.com, if you want to have a read. The Nathan Cleary show on Friday night. The long and the short of this game, because we're running out of time, Cocksmith, we've only got 8 minutes left on the free Zoom, is Parramatta started well, but they didn't capitalise on the scoreboard. Penrith's defence was really, really strong. And then once Nathan Cleary got into the game, he just never let it out of his grasp, did he?
No, not really, mate. He definitely was the orchestrator of that. And the players were the orchestra. I think, you know, one thing I noticed when Mitch Kenny started the game instead of Appy, and they played a very regimented style of football without Appy on the field. And the moment Appy came on, they started to play a freer, more off the cuff, you know, playing what was in front of them rather than almost colouring by numbers, which, you know, it was obviously the plan.
With a fresh Appy, yep.
Yeah, and they look so much better with Appy in the team. You know, we won't start talking about 2023 yet, but Appy's a big loss for Penrith. You know, and look, but Nathan did play very well. Another dribbler in the newspaper gave him a 10. I don't think he was a 10.
I thought he was a 9. He was for 65 minutes, he was the best player on the field by a mile.
Yeah, I think he was a 9. You know, but just the first 20 minutes or something like that, it felt like he was a bit rusty.
Yep.
But, mate, another clinical performance. Another fun fact is that's the first time they've had their full team on, their best team on the field all year, Penrith. They haven't that's basically their best 17 that played on Friday night. And they played a Parramatta that's beaten them twice this year. So it shows you where both of their teams' heads at for a little bit. And it gives you a good indicator of maybe what's to come.
So they'll play the winner. Penrith will play the winner of Cronulla and Souths on a prelim final on a Saturday week, and then Parramatta play Canberra Friday to take on the Cowboys Friday week. Parramatta, quickly, we've only got a couple minutes left, but what do they take out of that game? Because the chat, probably from their own fans as much as anyone, was, you know, this is the year. And quite frankly, when you're losing Reed Marnie and you don't really have a ready-made replacement unless Mitch Rain can turn back time, this could be the last roll of dice for a year or two unless they can find a hooker. So what's the mindset for Parramatta coming out of that game? Not so much going into Canberra, but coming out of that loss to Penrith.
The takeaway for me would be we can't win without Mitchell Moses on the field. And Lord help us if he does go, because then you've got the coach's son. And he's ordinary. He is so ordinary, mate.
Poor kid was just deer in headlights. It just, you could see it.
I feel sorry for him. But, you know, there's obviously an element of truth of what some of the Parramatta fans were saying in not such a nice way earlier on this year, but he's not up to NRL standard. And they need to find a second string halfback. But look, I think you're right. The Reed Marnie thing, unless they can buy another hooker in, Mitch Rain is way past his best. He ain't going to, you know, he's not going to, you know, come from the from.
He's
from
not going to make him better. Is the point?
No, he's definitely not. He's not going to come from the back of the pack and do amazing things. Those times are gone. But they need it. They need a hooker. Look, mate, I don't know. I've said for a long time that Parramatta are a little bit like. You know, they win the games that aren't that important. You know, hopefully they prove me wrong, but I think you're going to see them probably go out the back door this week.
Well, we'll hold our tips till the next pod, but just quickly on Brad Arthur, I understand sticking with a winning team at the back end of the year, but I made this point in the article. Wonga Blake is a centre if he's anything. He has horrible hands, and when you play him on the wing, you expose his worst asset, which is he can't catch.
And who knew that?
Oh, everybody. Although Parramatta waited, Parramatta waited for about 15 minutes in the game before they started kicking to him. They went, "Oh, what are we?"
But then they didn't stop. You know, I don't think Nathan Cleary didn't know all about his hands.
Bailey Simonson's been great for him all year. Gets injured, and then he sticks with Tom Opacek, who offers him nothing in the centres. He just doesn't. He's a solid footy player, but he's not going to worry anyone. And you're taking Blake out of position, putting him on the wing where he's exposed, and it's just confusing for me. Another one is Nathan Brown. If he's in the good books,
it's a waste.
If he's in the good books again to be in the squad as 18th man, he has to be on the bench if you're not going to play Makatoa until the 75th minute. That's insane. Yeah. Just insane.
I think Nathan Brown needs to move back to the Tigers, mate. That's what I think he needs to do. He needs to find a club that want to give him a hug and
they have Origin representative. That's the podcast, everyone, because we've got 3 minutes left on the Zoom, so we better go. Cocksmith, I love the weekend football. The only defence I'll give of Matt Thompson is it was a great weekend of rugby league. Just the problem with Matt Thompson is every time he commentates, it's the greatest thing he's ever seen. It's the greatest thing ever.
It's not the greatest thing he has ever seen.
It's just the greatest thing there's ever been. And that's
there's ever been.
The problem. And I'm like, dude, Rab's called the game for 40 years. I think he's saw a few pretty good ones.
Look, the other thing about him, mate, is he just doesn't stop jabbering on. You know, I think you might have said over the weekend that who needs the colour commentators? You know, he's just going
to
give it
to two models next to him.
who cares about those plonkers? We want to hear Matt Thompson.
If you want to have a good example of that, people, the first 3 minutes of Roosters South, just do me a favour. If you can sit through it, listen to the expert commentary from Billy and Joey in the first 3 minutes. That's all I will say. We'll speak to you next time on the Footy Show. We'd love to hear from you if you're enjoying us being back regularly. And we'll be back probably Wednesday to look at all the semi-final matchups, which is Parramatta versus Canberra, Cronulla versus South. I will be there, Parramatta Canberra, taking the nephew and a mate or two along to hopefully end Parramatta's season, Cocksmith.
Thanks for the invite, bro.
Fair point.
Pepsi.
Not the Footy Show.
Honestly, would you have come if I'd actually thought about that?
Probably not, mate.
I was going to say, I'm sure I know you pretty well.
I don't want to miss a point, miss a beat in making you feel bad, or at least attempting.
You know, I thought you were going to say. Yeah. I thought you were about to tell me that I wasn't going to. I didn't want to miss a minute of Matthew Thompson's commentary.
No, I really don't give a rat's about his commentary.
All right, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Bye, mate.
Not the Footy Show.
You've been sleeping over there.
Pepsi.